I was visiting with my pastor friend George Lumpkin in Fredericksburg about a month ago. And as you know, George Lumpkin is the pastor at First United Methodist Church in Fredericksburg. And one day, George was telling me that he was at one of those fancy wineries in Fredericksburg, right? He was at one of those fancy wineries in Fredericksburg when the owner of that winery came up to George. He knew who George was, and George knew him. And he said, pointing to a gentleman, "Do you know who that is? That is Hal Lindsey." Anybody know who Hal Lindsey is? And George said, "Really? I thought he was dead," right? The YouTube videos and the instructional videos that you see of Hal Lindsey today are when he was much younger, maybe 20, maybe even 30 years old. But Hal Lindsey is around 91, 92 years old. He lives in Fredericksburg. I mean, he lives in Kerrville, rather. And he moves around, and he goes to places like Fredericksburg and other cities, communities in the Hill Country to entertain himself. So what happened was that in 1970, Hal Lindsey wrote a book called The Late Great Planet Earth. George Lumpkin asked the owner of the winery to introduce him to Hal Lindsey. So he does, and the first thing he says to Hal Lindsey is, "I read your book." Hal Lindsey replied, "I wrote 9 of them." And in their conversation, George quotes Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, where Jesus says, "No one knows the day or the hour, not the angels nor the Son of Man, only the Father." To which Hal Lindsey replies, "That is true, but you can predict the year." Hal Lindsey predicted the end of the world in 1987. Here we are, right? Here we are. We're all still here trying to figure it out. Hal Lindsey is one of those people, like some of the other evangelists, that take the gospel and try to figure it out like a math problem, right? That if you have so many days here and so many wars there, and you multiply it by this number right here to the blood moons there and how many pigs have flown in the last century, then by that point, you're able to figure out when the second coming is going to be, you know, give or take a few years. And that's just all ridiculous. That is just all ridiculous. Let's take a look at what's going on in the church at Thessalonica. The church in Thessalonians was, the Thessalonians were dealing with the second coming of Jesus. And Jesus even alluded to it, as we have in the gospel reading this morning. What's going on is that the church in Thessalonica was a made up of a congregation. I'm so sorry. Made up of a congregation that had people owned property, and they had businesses. So people in the community there believed that it was important to work, right? It was important to work, but there were people in the community there in Thessalonians that did not work. So, Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians, He says, anyone unwilling to work should not eat. For we hear that some of you are living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work. Now, there were people who were expecting the second coming of Jesus that figured out, why work? Why do I need to do any work at all? So, Paul is saying, if you don't work, you don't eat. Now, Paul isn't talking about somebody who lost their job, right? Paul isn't talking about somebody who is too sick to work. He's talking about people that can work and are choosing not to work so that the second coming is going to take place. So why work at all? The word busybody is used in the King James Version of the Bible, which was printed in 1611. So from even the King James Version in 1611 to present-day translations, that word busybody sticks. So what's a busybody? Well, a busybody isn't working at all. What they're doing is they're going about from house to house, to person, and not attending to the work of God. And all of us might know a busybody or two who isn't attending to the work of God. I got to tell you how I became one of those busybodies. When I picked up Hal Lindsey's book, Satan is Alive and Well on Planet Earth, I was about 15 years old. And that book literally scared the hell out of me. Hal Lindsey did a great job of communicating how Satan is truly alive and well in planet Earth. And it got to a point that I was spending so much time trying to figure out where Satan was as opposed to trying to figure out where Jesus is. So I had to throw the book away. I wasn't focusing on the light. I was paying attention to the dark. So I wasn't attending to the kingdom of God as Jesus would want me to do. So this morning's scripture passage is about us not worrying so much about when Jesus is coming as much as what we are to be doing right now in preparation for his coming. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement and the Methodist Church, said that, I don't know when Jesus is coming, but when he comes, I want him to find me doing what he called me to do. And that's where we are today. That's who we are as disciples of Jesus Christ. How does this translate in our life? Well, as you know, last Friday we went to Del Rio. Hal Zesch, Mark Nash, and I took all those two boxes of goods that you had sent. And the person that greeted us there at this religious center, it's a religious center, is a Baptist volunteer whose husband is a Border Patrol agent, and her name is Tiffany Zook. And the time that we arrived, there was a family from Haiti that had arrived at the center, and we offered them, what they did is they offered them a backpack with a Bible and clothes and food, and we prayed for them as they were sent to Fort Lauderdale. Hal gave them a tour, Tiffany gave Hal and Mark Nash a tour of the facility. And I had seen places like that before, so I was wandering around, taking a look at other things, and paying attention to how they did ministry there, some of their needs and expectations and wants. And talking with other people who worked and volunteered there at the center, of which there was a small army of Church of Latter-day Saints workers. So I was visiting with some folks and talking to some people, and in a conversation that Hal Zesch and Mark Nash were having with Tiffany Zook, Hal Zesch asked this question. And this question is a question that plagues Hal Zesch, right? It may even plague you too. But the question is this: how do we deal with the drug problem? How do we deal with the drug problem? You know, there's a big methamphetamine problem in our state, don't you? It's huge. I mean, I'm not underscoring this. It's really bad. Opioids will eventually kill you. Methamphetamine won't. But there's a huge problem in Brady, in Menard, in Burnett, in London, in Junction. It's huge. I don't want to alarm you or anything, but it's big. And the effect that it has on the brain is enormous. It causes holes in the brain that cannot be healed. So Hal asks Tiffany Zook, how do we deal with this problem? And this is what Tiffany said. What we need to do is get out of our nice clothes and our pews in church and go out into the streets and develop relationships with these people. Because these people aren't going to come to church on their own. And you know what? She's right. Now, we can't all not go to church anymore. That's not the way it works. Because we as a community of faith need to worship together as one people. But we do need to get out into the streets. We do need to try to build relationships with people who are really dealing with hell in their life, addictions and problems of all kinds, so that we can make a difference. Because law enforcement and prisons aren't the answer. What Tiffany said is true. She told Hal Zesch that Jesus is the answer. And she's right. Jesus is the answer to every problem that we are dealing with. And we have Jesus in our hearts and minds. And we can't work our faith like a math problem. Trying to figure this out, this theology out, and what about this doctrine, and what about this and that teaching, and so forth and so on. It's about building relationships with people who are wrestling. On the front of your bulletin, there is a watch, and there is the world. And it's reminding us that from today, it's 38 days till Christmas. What are we going to do to get ready for the birth of Jesus? What are we going to do to get ready for the birth of Jesus in our hearts and minds? You know, I look at my calendar, the calendar on my cell phone, and it's reminding me when Black Friday is. And I didn't put that on there. Getting ready for the birth of Jesus is more than putting up Christmas trees and lights and buying presents. It's opening our hearts and minds to the power of God, who is the light of the world, that can heal all diseases, that can redeem all people and make us one again. So today, I'm going to pray that God puts you in a place this week where you will have the opportunity to become the answer for somebody else that needs the gospel of Jesus Christ in their life today. Jesus is coming again soon. Let's get ready. In the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.